Welcome back to Ultimate Game, Part 3, Becoming a Free Human. Truth is bonding. When we're truthful with people, there's an instant and consistent connection with them. When we add kindness and goodness to our words, we feel like we have a new friend for life. It's like it's the opposite from telling a lie. The moment we tell a lie to someone, we create a separation with them. We also create a separation inside ourselves because we distort and deny our own truth. And the moment that we're open, we clean up a lie and speak the truth, we get rebonded. It's like we become connected again. The freedom I think Jesus was referring to when he said, "The truth will set you free," is that we become free to experience oneness, kindness, and we ourselves, over time, become more and more kindred in spirit. We experience a bigger truth, that we are, in fact, one gigantic living consciousness at all levels, connected to everyone and everything. We aren't what we go around thinking we are. We aren't some little separate person inside. We're all a part of a much larger form of energy. A living, ever-expanding, thinking consciousness that's alive and evolving like a gigantic living organism. We're each small parts of this massive organism called the universe. Uni-verse. One song. A living consciousness. And when you lie, you bind up some of that universal energy inside of yourself. It's like we hoard the energy of our lies and are afraid to let it flow. What you're doing is intentionally holding part of your reality separate from the larger reality. Like turning off a water valve. It's like you bind the energy that's stored in that lie so it can't escape your consciousness. The moment you clean it up and speak the truth, it opens that valve and energy begins to flow again. In essence, it cleans up the lie and a rush of energy flows through your body and it feels normal again. For example, when we have an issue going on with someone, the moment we clean it up and tell the truth, there's a certain lightness that comes into the relationship. We say things like, "A weight has been lifted off my shoulders." And actually what happened was that we released the energy that was held in that lie that was inside us. And now the energy can begin to flow again. Flowing energy feels good. As strange as it sounds, when we bind our energy with lies, it not only restricts the flow of our energy, at some level it restricts the flow of energy in the universe. And the exact moment when we clean up a lie by speaking the truth, there's a sense of relief inside us. We feel an energy rush because we freed up the energy we were holding captive from the universe. Ultimately, you can imagine, if you're careful to speak the truth and you keep on being truthful, you'd feel very energized all the time. You'd feel the energy flowing in vast amounts all the time. It's been my experience as I go through my life, as long as I keep on being careful to speak the truth, and to complete, like not leave any messes. My life, as I go along, I might feel light and energized. Let me read that over. It's been my experience as I go through my life, as long as I keep on being careful to speak the truth and to complete, not leaving any messes, complete, right? My life, as I go along, I feel light and energized. It doesn't matter how difficult our life is. Life is never easy. When we speak the truth, we feel light. When we lie, we feel heavy and sluggish. Truth in relationships. In relationships, speaking the truth is the only way to maintain authentic love. For me, love is a connection with another free spirit. It's an experience of oneness. If there's a lie between us, then the connection can't be there 100%. it's not possible to fully bond. So the more we lie, the more lies there are, the less of a feeling of connection. Sure, we can lust for another person, but there isn't that deep emotional sharing that gives us that sense of ecstasy. That's why when we first meet a person and there's no lies, we have the experience of instant friendship or falling in love. We love being around them and it's all tingly and wonderful. That person consumes our mind and we can't wait to be with them again. Have you noticed how long it lasts? Sometimes 3 days or maybe a month, if you're lucky. I think the reason why it doesn't last has to do with not knowing how to be real with each other. And the moment we become not real with one another, the relationship begins to fall apart. There may not be any lies between people. However, what about the lies people carry into the relationship in the background? Their baggage and former lies. People are pretending from the moment they meet, and once the baggage starts to hang out, it creates a subtle separation. I think that when it comes to love relationships and we want to have the experience of being in love, it requires that we're authentic. It requires a real person interacting with another real person in order for a real connection to be there. That can't take place unless we're truthful and not bringing our old lies into a new relationship. The bottom line is that when we don't speak the truth, it's always because we don't feel okay the way we are. And when we haven't cleaned up our past lies, they interfere with the new relationship and cause us to hide those lies, which in turn creates a separation in our connection. Of course, the separation was there from the beginning, but we hid it, and we hid that too. So we have to build ourselves up a little in the new relationship, romantic or not, by pretending to be something that we're not. When that happens, the other person doesn't know who we really are unless we disclose the old lies to them. You can easily see how complicated this all gets. It all boils down to that we lie in order to have the experience that we're okay with ourselves and that other people think we're okay too. Lies are where so much insecurity stems from, and it can't all be avoided by being true to ourselves, and it can all be avoided by being true to ourselves. Being true to ourselves really begins with following through, acting on what we tell ourselves we're going to do or not do in order to feel great about ourselves. To feel great, we must honor our word and align our actions with those thoughts. When we practice aligning our actions with our thoughts, we learn to love and accept ourselves. By trial and error, we fine-tune our actions and build inner trust one step at a time. If you find it impossible to clean up a lie, then forgive yourself. Move on and never look back. Accepting ourselves. I'm certain that until we're willing to speak the truth to ourselves and to be willing to accept who we are and who we aren't, we'll continue to lie. So how do we get to the point of accepting ourselves? Until we're willing to stop doing the things that we already know makes us feel less and begin to do the things we already know that makes us feel more, well, we'll always cover up that we aren't doing what we know to do. The feeling of self-acceptance, self-appreciation, and self-satisfaction can't happen without aligned actions that follow deliberate thoughts. The feeling of less comes up in all kinds of subtle ways when we don't honor our word to ourselves. We feel less because we pretend we're keeping our word, but when we're not keeping our word, we're really pretending to be something that we're not. Pretending makes it impossible to be authentic, to want to strive toward higher standards, and to become more of the ideal person we secretly want to be. Acceptance is about not judging yourself for the way you are and the way you aren't. If you want to accept yourself, you must start by taking action to change small things in your life that you want to improve. It's as simple as choosing something to either start doing or stop doing and following through. The first time I attempted to change something about my health that I wasn't happy about was many years ago. My guide at the time recommended that I choose something that was easy to achieve yet would make a big impact on how I felt about myself. I decided to start flossing my teeth at the end of each day with the understanding that I'd do it no matter what. In just 2 days' time, I noticed a difference in how I felt about myself. I knew at that time I was on the right path and could see that if I did this in all areas of my life, that my life would be transformed. From there, the game just got more and more subtle and more complex, but not in a bad way. Once I learned how to develop that first habit, I expanded in other areas of my life, all the while keeping it as simple as possible. Insights began flooding in as I became stronger inside, more organized, and what magically happened was that I began to trust myself more than I ever had in my entire life. I began to accept the things that weren't working in my life and chose to do something about them instead of just pretending to have my act together. Things began to shift from not knowing what to do first or next into trusting myself to not only take action, but to take the right action. I had someone there who could guide me, and that's why I recommend you find someone that knows the game who can help you. It really speeds up the process. Celebrating life. To recap a little, the reason we don't show our true authentic self is because we're hiding that we aren't doing what we know we need to do in order to feel great about who we are. So we're not able to celebrate our lives because we aren't willing to do what it takes to experience our lives as a celebration. We're not willing to pay the price to create inner joy in our lives. Inner joy is what I began to experience every day just by adding on a little daily consistent action to improve my life. For you, it could mean that you do 30 minutes of exercise in the morning, or not overeat, or to get to bed at a reasonable hour. It's the small things where we let ourselves down so we don't create the conditions to celebrate who we are. When we don't celebrate who we are, like we did when we were little, good-natured children, we lose our mojo. Our flame goes out. We lose interest in our life. We say, I don't have the motivation. And when I say celebrate, I'm not talking about being self-righteous. I'm talking about an experience of joy and of happiness for the gift of life. We all have a body to experience our life with. When we don't treat our body with integrity and kindness by exercising and eating healthy food, we cover it up and try to hide the truth. But sooner or later, the truth shows up with sickness, being overweight, or in pain. Whenever we lie, it's always about something that we feel that we should have done or shouldn't have done that we think others are going to judge us for. However, it's not others judging us. We've already judged it as not being okay. So now we have to pretend that we did or didn't do it in order to look okay. And that feeling comes up all the time. It's whenever you let yourself down and whenever you violate your own sense of worth that you lie. This will come up for you from now on until you die unless you make a shift. So if you want to live your life as a continuous celebration, start doing what you know to do and stop doing what you know to stop doing. Yes, it's that simple. Why we need a guide. I think most people are nowhere near the beginning of speaking the truth and being true to themselves. Most of all, most people are nowhere near wanting to hear anything that has to do with the real truth. The majority of people that I've met in my life and who I've worked with one-on-one really think they are that they're speaking the truth. And I don't mean that they aren't aware that sometimes they tell little lies. A guide is someone who can help to point out when you're unaware of your lies and self-deception. Most humans walk around operating their lives thinking they're basically truthful people. And as you're reading, you may be beginning to understand when it comes to being true to yourself, you're basically a liar, and only on occasion will you speak the truth and follow through with something. The truth will sometimes come out of your mouth before you have time to think about what you were going to say. We've all accidentally said something unkind that we wish we hadn't said, or we make a commitment to do something that we really weren't committed to doing. A guide can help monitor that type of language that comes out of our mouths. We observe in children that they aren't very good at lying, and although they adapt early in childhood, they learn how to lie very quickly from observing adults. And those very same children didn't know how to lie early in their life. They hadn't learned to play the game the way that adults are used to playing the game. Young children will say things like that are very direct, and they'll say them directly to adults that are embarrassing. And they very quickly learn that it's not okay to embarrass others and call them out. When parents quickly shut them down, the child's inner voice kicks in and concludes they're bad for doing that. This same scenario gets extended to other areas such as eating, swear words, hitting, biting, throwing, sharing, not apologizing or thanking people, etc., etc. Kids learn from their parents who they consider God figures, their so-called school teachers who pretend to be all-knowing, friends who swear they're forever confident, and the social media companies who make it appear that they have their best learning interests in mind, that it's necessary to pretend. Around the age 4 to 6, innocent children begin a transition that wasn't their idea and start pretending differently from the frolicky innocence they once were. Then they become mischievous, secretive, and a bit serious. Remember, to pretend is a lie. At such a young age, there isn't any need to pretend. Why? What good does it serve? What are they pretending for? They don't even know. So our once wholesome children grow into deceptive adults, and the lying life cycle starts over. So basically, almost every person our precious kids come into contact with teaches them how to lie. Our once innocent, playful children grow up liars and then have their own kids who learn to lie from everyone they come into contact with. Insanity is alive and well, and everyone wonders why there's so much crime on the streets, so much anger in our homes, and so much discontent in our politics. There has to be a day when the cycle is reversed. Will you be the one to reverse it? Maybe you will, and maybe you won't. On your own, it's going to be very difficult, a very difficult road, because you'll be pulled away by life, and you'll forget. A guide doesn't ever forget their mission. A guide's mission is to keep you reminded to remember what you're doing. On our own, most people think, I'm going to speak the truth and then just be the way I was when I was an innocent kid. I refuse to put on a civilized facade that everyone else is putting on. They usually end up acting like a crazy person and causing all kinds of turmoil in the world. Now, as a guide, I see that when people start speaking the truth, they become real kind, kindred in spirit. My teacher used to tell me all the time, you have to learn to speak the truth about the way you really are if you want to be kind. I understand now what he was saying, and I know that without any doubt that it was incredibly necessary to have somebody guide me. I wanted to learn to accept that I was all right in my own frailty and in my own vulnerability. I wanted to have somebody teach me to accept myself. I felt completely lost for many years until I made the choice to trust in a guide who had the right intentions and would give me the right directions. Learning to speak the truth isn't something that we can easily do on our own. I certainly couldn't do it on my own after wasting many years thinking that I could. I have seen in my training there are many people in the world who are serious about their lives. They really want to live generous lives and want to be good human beings. But they don't know that they're lying to themselves. They simply have no idea. When we lie, we sabotage our ability to think clearly, and our whole mission becomes to defend our own lives. We don't even know we're doing that. We don't know we're lying. We don't know how it hurts us. This is one of the problems. If we knew how it hurt us, then maybe we'd do something about it. Some people have become aware enough that they do know on some level that they're lying or not lying. But most people haven't learned to recognize the signals. They only know it feels uncomfortable and that their health or relationships are suffering. When you don't know if and when you're lying to yourself, and you don't practice being aware of it enough to do something about it, it'll make a difference, then it's impossible to know what it's like to speak the truth. If you were true to yourself consistently for an extended period of time, you'd have an experience that's different from what you're having now. But since you haven't practiced, you don't know what you're missing. And that's the real tragedy. This is why I say that it's necessary to have someone guide us. We can't do it on our own because we don't know the distinctions. We don't know that it's actually true that there's real truth in the statement, "The truth sets us free." We don't know that a different experience is even available to us. An experience that's a part of what the human experience has to offer as a possibility. An experience of freedom. Freedom from having to pretend. That's why I say that when people come to my training, even people that are who are really serious about their lives, don't know that they're lying to themselves. Oh yeah, they do know some things, like they cheated on their spouse, or they do know that they stole money or materials from their job. They do know some external lies like that. But they don't know that they're lying to themselves. They really, really, really don't know that they're being untrue to themselves. Being true to yourself. Have you noticed that after you tell a lie, whether it's to someone else or to yourself, you focus your thinking energy on finding evidence that the lie is the truth? And the justifications of your lies are only noticeable when you pay attention to them. However, if you're on autopilot, you won't notice the justifications. With all your unaware rationale, you do everything you can to hide any evidence that the lie is a lie. Your once clear energy turns to cloudy energy because it gets aligned with the lie. And then you end up defending the lie so you don't get caught. When this happens, the part that sucks is that your mental clarity turns to mental confusion without you even knowing. All this is happening unconsciously, meaning that you can't notice because you don't know to pay attention. Over time, you block out the lie and you get oblivious to seeing any evidence that you're lying. As time goes on, you become less and less aware of not being true to yourself, and you literally wind up being a mentally unconscious functioning human being that's unaware that you're unconscious. When this happens, you may experience some or many of these common symptoms. Uncomfortable with yourself. Awkward when around others. Difficulty carrying on normal conversations. Irritable. Tired. Difficulty concentrating. Worry. Sleep issues. Anxiety. Nervous energy. Restlessness. Tension. Panic. Physical issues, such as increased heart rate, trembling, weakness, gut problems. When we sum up all of the above symptoms, the medical field labels them as anxiety disorders. However, the real cause is never treated. The cause is lying. According to the medical profession, the cause of anxiety disorders aren't fully understood. Of course they aren't. That's because most of those in the medical profession are all liars too. They don't understand or treat the real root cause because they don't know what the real root cause is. So they do a lot of testing on you, ask you lots of questions, and conclude that you have some sort of mental illness. They write you a prescription or send you to years of therapy, and in some cases, both. The majority of people go around feeling uncomfortable about who they are, and it comes from not being true to themselves, yet they don't know this. They just know that they feel uncomfortable or insecure, and at some level, they conclude that there's something wrong with them. In general, as a defense, people put on all this pretense or go looking for something that will fix them. Some people look externally at things like spirituality, yoga, religion, or some mental or physical discipline, thinking that these ways are the answer to the root cause of their anxiety. Why? Because they haven't had the experience of being truthful and being true to themselves over an extended period of time enough to know that the fix is right in front of their face. I did the same thing when I was younger. I immersed myself into various disciplines, thinking I was getting closer to a fix for my hidden anxiety. However, even though I benefited greatly from studying and practicing several disciplines, I never found a real fix. It wasn't until years later, because of my curiosity to be a free human, that I discovered that being true to myself is what would ultimately set me free. So when you have the experience of being authentic with yourself consistently over a period of time, you'll naturally be curious to find ways to stay on track. So now you know that if you're not actively looking for ways to stay on track, you haven't had the experience yet, because if you did, you'd be feverishly looking. In the bigger picture, one of the best methods for fixing all this madness is to self-observe. Yet, most people that I've met on my personal journey think that they can observe themselves without guidance. Without guidance and acquiring some knowledge and firsthand experience of telling the truth, self-observation to a beginner will be very inaccurate. It's like a racehorse with blinders on. The horse can't see its surroundings accurately. In the same way, people don't know what life looks like to not have blinders on. They don't even know that they have blinders on it at all. And if you told them they had blinders on, they'd get offended and call you a liar. Before I started working with a guide, I would have never admitted that I had blinders on or that getting help was even an option. I eventually realized that what I wanted more than anything was to get the blinders taken off so I could experience what it was like to see clearly. I wanted to know if there was a real difference. What happens when I work with people is that through sharing my experiences and taking them through some processes I learned, they actually experienced the difference between having blinders on and having them off. It's during the time they're being guided, or they get to spend some time with the blinders removed, people have a very different experience than the one they're used to and say, aha, here's something completely new that I had no idea about. With practice and a little guidance, people begin to develop the sensitivity necessary to know the difference between when they're lying and when they're telling the truth. This is the beginning for how people learn that being true to themselves leads to becoming more and more authentic and having the experience of real freedom.